Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, September 25th, 2017. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am very good. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am swell. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great to have you here. Great to have both of you here. And I wanted to have both of you here because today, the 25th, is macOS High Sierra launch day. And I figured if there were two people that are near and dear to me that could give people really good advice on how to deal with this upgrade, it's going to be you two. So you're here. So let's hop right into it. And let's start with, what do people need to do before they get macOS High Sierra on their computer?
Well, since I wrote an article for today about how to do that, the preparation guide for High Sierra, I thought I would just kind of provide an outline of what the article is going to look like. The first thing to do is make a decision about whether you're going to do it today. And you might want to consider monitoring the internet to see if there's any difficulty. I've installed a lot of the betas, and High Sierra is very smooth, and I never had any trouble with any of the developer betas or the GM. So I think this is going to be a really smooth update, you know, in my opinion. Once you decide when you're going to do it, you should be doing some homework about your app compatibility. Because everybody has their favorite or mission critical or workflow apps. And you might want to check to see if all the apps in your dock are compatible with High Sierra. A good way to do that is to go to roaringapps.com, one word, and check on compatibility. Or if that doesn't work, go to the developer's website. Just make sure that the app is ready for High Sierra. High Sierra isn't a huge under the hood update except for APFS, and so I wouldn't expect most apps to have a problem, but you should check, create a checklist, piece of paper, check them all
off. I have a app compatibility question that I bet a lot of people are going to ask. Apple has been hyping 64-bit as this huge thing.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That doesn't come until next year.
Well,
32-bit apps will still run in High Sierra, but they won't run in the next version.
Well, it's nice to hear you say that.
Have you had a problem?
Many, yeah. There have been several apps that I have that are 32-bit apps that will launch and will not stay running through the...
BB Edit is not one of them.
BB Edit I have not had a problem with. That's right. But that's kind of one of the
few. I live in BB Edit.
Right. Same. Oh, yeah. That would have been a real issue if BB Edit was a problem. No, but older versions of FileMaker, in fact, anything 13 and prior is 32-bit and is to say that it is unstable is not a severe enough description. Uh-huh. It will launch. But if you get more than, say, 40 seconds of runtime out of it, that's impressive.
Oh, but FileMaker is a rather complex and funky database program, and one might understand that they would have a problem with 32-bitness. But
that's what I'm saying is, and this is why I wanted to sort of take issue with what you said, where there's not many under the hood changes. I think, in fact, it's exactly the opposite of that. I think there are a significant amount of under the hood changes with High Sierra, and not so many on top of the hood, above the hood changes, right? I mean, High Sierra is really built to clean up all of this under the hood stuff and doesn't add too much to the UI. I mean, it adds some, there's some things, and that's pretty, but I think it's under the hood, and I've experienced a lot of that, and only a little bit has been negative. Most of it has been extremely positive. My older machines are running much more efficiently. I've got a 2011 Air that I was ready to trade out because with Sierra, it was, the CPU was at 100% all the time with all of Apple's backup.
Did you get the boot spinner in Sierra on your MacBook Air?
No, I wouldn't, but I would get, just the CPU would just run all the time and the battery was...
Yeah, my wife complained about that. She has other MacBook Air, and when she upgraded from Yosemite to High Sierra, she was annoyed greatly because it was slow.
Well, huh. Yeah. Yeah, no. When I upgraded this to High Sierra, and I've experienced this with other machines of the same vintage now, all of those background processes, they still run, but they don't all run simultaneously, so they don't consume the CPU the way that they used to. It's much more friendly in that regard. I've found things to be quite a bit more efficient. And this is not just, you know, running it for a day or two. This has been running it for months. It's that under the hood stuff makes a big difference. I see it as the Snow Leopard of Sierra, right?
Oh, and I like that description.
Yeah. And I think in many ways that's Apple's intent.
I don't know of any sites that track the 32-bitness in High Sierra, like Roaring Apps.
Yeah. But I think it's a good thing. I don't mean to scare people off, but I do have a piece of advice right now. Well, I mean, you're listening to this show, so if you're listening on your Mac, maybe you want to finish listening. But before, and I realize you may have already done this, but before you upgrade to High Sierra, reboot your Sierra machine. And the reason is, when you reboot, and this is actually advice you gave me, John, so I'm parlaying it. When you reboot, all of your background apps and everything have to relaunch. And often when apps relaunch, that's the only time that they're checking for updates, phoning back home and checking to see if there's an update. And you want to make sure you get all those updates of all those things complete before you do the High Sierra install. And I wouldn't just say, you know, reboot. I would say then go and relaunch all of the apps that you run and let them all update. You might have mail plugins that need to be updated. All the folks at Small Cube that make things like Mail Acton and Mail Tags and Signature Profile and all that, they released
updates. Is something you have to upgrade first before.
Life is way easier if you have the software upgraded before you put High Sierra on. Because sometimes it won't, you know, if something won't launch in High Sierra, then the auto updater also won't launch. So you must go and like download manually and replace. And so I think a reboot and then relaunch all your apps, let them go through any updates that might exist, can really save you a headache.
So I like that. Okay. Yeah. So now, John, you mentioned APFS, which is the new file system for SSD drives on our computers. What about my backups? Because everyone, of course, always does a backup before they install a new operating system. Am I going to be screwed? Is my backup going to work if something goes wrong with my High Sierra install?
The file system on your external drive is a HFS Plus and will stay that way. Don't try to upgrade your external drive. During the installation process, if you have an SSD, the High Sierra updater will automatically, without your intervention or even option, update your file system to APFS. If something goes wrong after you've installed the High Sierra and you need to restore your Mac, the fact that your external drive and Time Machine has an HFS partition won't affect, as I understand it, the restore of your Mac to its previous situation.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
So do my backup as usual before installing High Sierra. If something goes wrong, then I would do my normal routine to restore from backup. And if all goes well, I should be fine.
Time Machine, I've had my doubts about the product over the years, but generally it works and everybody uses it. If you don't use it, do it. It's a good idea to have it. It's every Mac user's first line of defense. So before you think about upgrading, if you haven't been using Time Machine, you should get a hard disk and format it as HFS Plus. And in my article today, I have a great link to the step-by-step process to setting up Time Machine. Have a Time Machine backup before you upgrade your operating system. It's not the world's greatest backup software, but it's, like I said, it's your first line of defense. And then I highly recommend you do a second backup of the file, of all your files, with a tool like Data Backup or Super Duper or Carbon Copy Cloner to make sure you have a bootable clone, an image of your system, so that you have all your files intact. And if you need to, you can boot from that drive and, you know, figure out what went wrong. So two backups I would consider to be a minimum. And I mentioned in the article iCloud, not iCloud, but cloud backups. You know, if cloud backup is your thing, let that be one of your two. Just remember that if something goes wrong during the upgrade and you're off the air and you can't figure out why your Wi-Fi or Ethernet's not working, you're not going to be able to access your cloud backup. So it's, you know, it does have that weakness. And so my procedure is I like to have two local good backups, Time Machine and Carbon Copy Cloner is what I do before I do a system upgrade.
Okay. So we've prepped to make sure that our computer or that the apps that we need to use are good to go. We've made sure we have a good backup. We get through the upgrade process, and now our computer is running macOS High Sierra. What do people need to do after that?
Well, I think it's a good idea to turn off Time Machine just before you start the upgrade process, just so it doesn't try to kick in at an inopportune moment. So the first thing you want to do after you reboot High Sierra is to turn Time Machine back on, because Time Machine is incremental. And so you've got a backup from just before you did the update. Probably want to turn Time Machine back on to continue to do your updates in the future. So just so you don't forget that you turned Time Machine off before you started. Then check your mission critical apps to make sure they're still working. And
on the mission critical apps, one place that's bitten me before, even though I've made sure that I have all my updates in place, it's the special drivers that go along with certain peripherals, like my Wacom tablet, for example, and my Kensington Orbit trackball. I've had upgrades to operating systems where everything seems fine, but then after the fact, these peripherals just stop working the way I expect. And then I have to go and reinstall drivers, or in some cases, wait for a new driver to come out so that I can update and use the device again.
Yeah, in the old days, and check me on this, Dave, but I've seen many articles in the past that says when you do your update, disconnect your peripherals and just have your keyboard and mouse attached. I don't know if that's still a popular thing to do.
It's not. I mean, the mindset behind that makes sense to me. The idea of you don't want to have a new operating system fail. I mean, the idea is you want to know what it is that's causing a problem, right? So if you have all of these USB or otherwise devices connected, the OS is going to try and enumerate them and, you know, assign drivers to them and all that when it boots. And if one of those happens to be something that it can't deal with or wasn't tested, then it might hang or whatever. And you just don't want that. So by disconnecting all but the mission critical hardware, I haven't done that in a long time on my own machines.
I haven't either.
The thing is,
Jeff should do it though.
being geeks, I'm kind of I'm solving problems for people all the time, right? You know, we get emails, hundreds of them in every week from Mac Geek Gab and our Facebook group and all that stuff. And of course, then friends and family call me too, like they do you guys and many of our listeners. So if you're in that troubleshooting mindset, then those sorts of things aren't as big of a deal as they are when you're not, right? So being a little more conservative, if you're not someone who enjoys troubleshooting, and maybe that's the trick. I actually enjoy it, right? I don't always find that I have to troubleshoot at times that are convenient to do so. That's frustrating when, you know, I'm trying to get something done and it's like, hey, guess what? No, today is troubleshooting day. Because that's never convenient for any of us. But I do enjoy the process and I enjoy the challenge and all of that. So if you're not someone that enjoys that challenge, then yeah, be a little more conservative. Disconnect those extra things. I mean, you're talking about one extra reboot, and that way, if it boots fine before you connect your tablet and it doesn't boot after you connect your tablet, well, guess what? You are so far ahead of where I would be, because I would just see it not boot fine. and I have no idea why. Right now it's like, oh crap. Okay, well, let's start disconnecting things. And maybe that's what I would think of first. Or maybe I would think of something else to try first. And, you know, it might be 2 hours before I think, hey, let's just narrow down the pare down the peripherals connected. So I don't know. It's just your own personal preference, I think. But for the most part, I think this stuff's going to work unless you don't have drivers for something, one of your external devices, and then you've got a problem. Before I forget, I do want to remind everyone, if Carbon Copy Cloner is something you rely on, good news, they have a High Sierra compatible version. And you might already be using it in scheduled mode, which means it's just launching once a day in the background, does its backup, and then quits.
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
That is a very different style of launching than you going and launching it manually on your Mac. And one of the things that's different is that it does not check for updates when it is doing its background clones every day. So you may be running a much older version, and you may be running something that's not compatible with High Sierra. Now, the good news is Carbon Copy Cloner backups are not in any custom format. They are just in all Mac readable formats. So even if Carbon Copy Cloner can't run because you haven't updated, any backups you've made prior should be accessible to you in High Sierra regardless.
But I might add to that, Dave, that if you have a Carbon Copy Clone, bootable clone made just before you start the upgrade process, put it in a drawer.
Take it offline.
And start a new drive, because you don't want the new bootable clone to overwrite your old one, which you want to desperately hold on to for a few weeks or a few days at least.
Yeah, that is a smart thing to do. I always just go into Carbon Copy Cloner and disable my schedule so that it doesn't try to run at 6 p.m. tonight when I'm knee deep in trying to, you know, troubleshoot, because I haven't put High Sierra on my main machine yet. I will. I'm told by someone that it's out, but I'm not seeing it in the App Store myself. But that, you know, that's how these things go. So,
yeah, it is out. It dropped while we were talking just a couple minutes ago. So it's out there. Dave, I'm so glad you mentioned the thing with Carbon Copy Cloner, because I launched Carbon Copy Cloner right after you said that. I'm running version 4.1.11, and we're in 4.1.19. So it looks like, great, I need to do an update.
Yep. And I've got, you know, I feel like this is something that maybe Mike Bombick should change about Carbon Copy Cloner. Because if it's running every day, I just assume it's up to date and that it will warn me if it's not. And it doesn't. When it launches in the background, it does not warn me when it's not up to date. So,
all right. Well, I see a new feature in Carbon Copy Cloner's future.
Yeah, we'll send Mike a link to this episode. So there you go.
Perfect. All right, so we are pretty much out of time. Are there any other things you guys want to highlight, or is there some feature that you're really excited about with High Sierra?
I'm excited about APFS. That's the signature feature of High Sierra, and I can understand why Apple didn't try to do too much. I think they've made a great decision to roll it out on the iPhones. They've got hundreds of millions of phones and hundreds of millions of hours, probably billions of hours of experience with APFS on phones. They did that first. So I think it's going to go pretty smooth on High Sierra. And it has some really nice features, especially snapshots. And I didn't mention this in the article because I'm not real sure about it, but I suspect that what we'll see in the future is a new version of Time Machine that runs on an APFS drive and uses snapshots instead of hard links. But I'm not sure. It's just speculation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the advice I'd leave people with is get your backups done, which you should always have anyway, and then go ahead and do the update. Unless you have some very specific reason that you already know of that you should not do the update, I think you're going to be okay with this one. I'm excited for, you know, feature parity with images. So High Sierra will natively support the HEIF and HEVF formats. And I do like, well, it depends on whether you're talking about, I mean, the files are named HEIF. I've seen them. Right. It's the codec.
Oh, I thought you were talking about H.265. Sorry.
I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah. HEVC, high efficiency video codec.
Yes, but right. HEIF is part of that.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Dave, I'm going to add one caveat to what you said about go ahead and do the update. If you're in the middle of a mission critical project, wait until you finish your project, then go ahead and jump in. Because if something goes wrong and you're on a deadline, man, that you're kind of screwed. So
that sucks.
Yeah. And monitor Mac Observer today and tomorrow to see if there's anything that cropped up that beta testing didn't uncover or is a showstopper or maybe it would give you pause to wait until things sort out.
That sounds like an excellent, excellent piece of advice, too. All right. We are out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
It was great to have both of you here. I love all the advice that you guys have. So thank you for getting everyone ready to go for High Sierra. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.